Welcome. Thank you for joining us. This is our 50th session, and it's the final session in this series of spiritual gifts. I'm glad that you've joined us by DVD and those in our classroom who have been so faithful in attending that you're here as well. In this session, I'm especially speaking to those of you who are seminary students or those of you who are currently a pastor or on staff at a local church. And I want to present a model that I think is a more biblical model of how we organize our church around spiritual gifts, and especially around the equipping gifts. You'll remember in an earlier session, I said that God has appointed people with five different gifts to be the co-captains of the team. Doesn't mean that they're more important. It means they have a special assignment that they must do. And I think if we organize the church around the equipping gifts, that we will see it'll be more biblical and it will also be more effective. I've told you before that there are a couple of verses in Scripture that really are the key verses on spiritual gifts. In 2 Corinthians 12:7, it says, "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." That answers a bunch of questions about spiritual gifts. Who receives spiritual gifts? What are spiritual gifts? Who gives spiritual gifts? Why are spiritual gifts given? And then the second set of verses that are absolutely key to understanding spiritual gifts are Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. And I'm just going to focus on verse 11 because it lists the equipping gifts. You know, in most athletics, there comes a time where the coach stands up in front of the team and gives what they call a chalk talk. I'm not sure what that translates into your country. It simply means that the coach picks up a piece of chalk and he talks. And I'm going to talk my way through a diagram that I think will show a different model for arranging churches. And I think it is possible for churches to incorporate this within the existing structure of their church and not have to make wholesale changes, complete changes, undo what currently exists in order to create something new. However, for those who are seminary students and who may be starting a new church, you may wish to think about starting a church implementing this model right from the very beginning. In most churches, you have elders. And the elders are the under-shepherds of the church. God has given them this office because they are responsible for the spiritual welfare of everyone who comes to that church. And as in Acts, we saw where the apostles could no longer take on all the responsibilities. Then they created a separate office of deacons. Some other churches have the office of deaconess, and that would also be related to the elders. But in every church, you have a pastor. The only exception that I know is in the Brethren Church, where there is no pastor. There are elders, and the elders bring a message, the elders lead in prayer, but the congregation might say, could we sing this hymn? Very unstructured, free-flowing sort of liturgy in those churches. But if you have the elders, and they have the pastor, who often is an elder, but sometimes is not, I believe the pastor should be an elder, but the one who is designated as a teaching elder. But each church has their own way of doing things. Then if I was the pastor of the church, the first thing I would do is I would set up an equipping team. This would be made up of people who have the five gifts that are mentioned in Ephesians 4:11, that God says he gave apostles. He gave prophets. He gave evangelists. He gave shepherds, which in that verse is called pastor, but the Greek word means shepherds, and then teachers. Now, I've organized it this way because earlier we talked about the fact that there are five roles in the church. First, there are those who have the gifts that allow the church to extend, to expand, to move and bring in more people numerically, as well as launch other ministries and begin new churches. That is the job of the apostles and the evangelists. And my suggestion for the model of the church is this equipping team be set up with three groups of people. One are the apostles and the evangelists who have responsibility for the role of extending the church. They provide oversight on that effort. So any program, any initiative that has to do with reaching out, having people come to Christ, starting something new, missionaries, it would fall under this extending the church. One of the roles that we saw in 1 Corinthians 12, 28 through 30. Then there's another role of instructing the church. Well, that falls to the prophets and the teachers. And so I would have these people have responsibility for the instructional program of the church. So Sunday school would fall under them. Adult Bible studies would fall under them. I'll go through what some of those ministries might be at a later time. So we know that extending was one of the responsibilities, instructing was another, and then we said caring for the church. Well, that's the responsibility of the shepherds, to provide care. And so I would have one person who's an apostle, one person who's an evangelist, one who's a prophet, a teacher, and a shepherd. Five people be on the equipping team. And that team would have responsibilities for the various roles in the church, extending the church, instructing the church, and caring for the church. Now, there are two other roles we talked about, and one of them was to manage the church. And I'm going to put that under the responsibility of the pastor. But the pastor and the staff would take on the responsibilities of making sure that the church is running smoothly. The pastor is going to provide leadership, but how you actually implement that within the church structure is the responsibility of the pastor as the manager on this team. And each of these obviously has to do with gifts. Apostleship, evangelist, prophecy, teaching, shepherding, and leadership. Now, the ministries of those churches would fall under these various umbrellas. So that these ones might take on outreach, that's evangelism programs in the local community. It may take on the responsibility for missions. It might take on special projects where you're putting together resources to send overseas for missionaries. And it might be for any new ministry, both a ministry that's going to be started within the church or a ministry that's going to be started outside of the church as in launching a brand new church itself. So those would be some of the ministries that fall under this umbrella. For the equipping team, those people who are part of the instructional program, they're responsible for Sunday school, for vacation Bible school, for Awana, if you have that in your program, and for such things as student ministries, for adult classes that are either held during Sunday school or are held during the week separately, and that they would also have responsibility for new members, people who are coming into the church, and they need to understand the church and the basics of the faith. And part of that program would be for them to learn about spiritual gifts. That when new members come, you're teaching them about your church, you just include spiritual gifts training as a part of it. And then automatically, you help those people be placed in a position in the church that seems best suited for them. Or if they're brand new and they really don't have any experience in church, then you encourage them to go to the place that seems the best suited for them. And then the shepherds, they would be responsible for small groups, for programs like those for young adults who are in their 20s, for those who are single, those who are married, for those who are divorced, for those who are widowed, for benevolence, and those would be some of the programs that would fall under that area. What falls under the church with management would be the whole area in the church that we call operations. All the different parts of the church that have to function smoothly. That includes buildings and grounds, making sure that the building is being kept up, maintained, making sure that the floors in the church are being swept and waxed or whatever needs to be done, making sure that supplies are ordered that everybody needs, keeping track of the budget of the church. All of that would fall under operations and would be in this team. Now you have the five equipping gifts all organized by the role, the biblical role that they play in the church based on Ephesians 4, 28 through 30, and the ministries aligned with the role. To me, this makes sense. Now, the people who are the individuals with these two gifts, they don't do this alone. They put together a team of people who will come alongside them in order to make this happen. They're not leaders. They're not administrators. They don't have the gift of helps. This is going to be very difficult for them to put together, as it would be for prophets, teachers, the shepherds. They need people with other gifts to come alongside and form a sub-team, who is then led by the apostles or evangelists or possibly by someone who actually has the gift of leadership. And the same sub-team would be in the instructional program, in the caring program, and the pastor would be the person leading it there. There are some gifts that associate themselves with each of these areas. Obviously, people who have apostleship are going to be drawn to this area. So will those who have the gift of evangelism. They'll be drawn to that area. Then under this area, you obviously are going to have people with the gifts of prophecy and teaching who are most interested. But look at the people who will fall under the care of the church. A multitude of gifts, including mercy, encouragement, hospitality, healing, as well as intercession and shepherding. All of those are going to be needed for a care ministry. See, the primary purpose of the church is to help people grow to become like Jesus Christ. Secondary purpose is you do that after you have won them to Christ. Both of those are based on the Great Commission. And we go, therefore, and preach the gospel, and then we help people be baptized. We help them learn the basics of the faith, knowing that Jesus will be with them forever. So this team, I think, would be the ones that would be responsible for ministry placement. And that would fall into two categories. I'm running out of space on the board, so I'll do my best. Yeah, let's go up a little higher. New members. Well, I think that they attend this class. I say they go out and they explore. And they aren't just sent out. There's somebody who's responsible for ministry placement. Probably somebody with the gift of administration who can follow them, keep track of them, and then maybe a shepherd who checks in with them and finds out, how is that going? Are you enjoying it? And then you got the current members. What are you going to do with them? Well, the first thing I would do as the pastor is I would preach a series on spiritual gifts. So, a series on the topic. And then I would make sure that there is a spiritual gift class that is taught as part of the adult instructional program. And in all of this, I would make sure that people are being placed. Now let's come to the area of managing. Who's likely to be drawn to this area? Well, probably leaders, leadership, probably administration, and maybe helps for church operation and giving. These people are the ones who have to find their way into this. Because all of these areas are not equipped to do the jobs that they have. Apostles and evangelists can't do these four areas. They're going to need those people to come alongside and help them. Teachers and prophets, they can't do this. These people become the people who go out into the church and help in each of the areas. Same thing with shepherds, not equipped to do those things. So in a sense, they are utility members of the church who fill in wherever it's needed. And they also help the pastor and the staff in terms of managing the church. The one thing that I would do as pastor to start this is I would talk to the elders. I would not launch anything without the elders agreeing to it 100%. They are the over-shepherds of the church. And research indicates that no program succeeds in a church unless the elders have given their support to it. So I would make sure that they understand this. Perhaps I would pick out some of the sessions from this series to show them. Certainly they don't need to see all 50 sessions, but there are some that might be helpful for them to see and to understand. And once they have given their approval, then I would make sure that they know and they have input on who are the people who are going to be the pillar people of each of those. They're going to run with the ball. They're going to be the ones in charge. And I might even encourage one of the elders to be one of these people based on their giftedness. You see, as much as possible, you want their buy-in. You want them to know about it, believe in it, have opportunities to give input and feedback. And if you have an elder serving in one of these five key roles, there's a natural link back to the elders reporting to them on here's what we're doing, here's what's going on. The elders can pray about it. The elders can suggest changes and what might take place. The elders can give affirmation to the group about what's taking place. To me, this is the biblical model for the church. And I would encourage those of you who are in seminary to take a look at this model and to see how it might fit in to the church you're going to go to. If you're going to fill a role as assistant pastor, obviously you're not going to have as much say on what it is that will happen in the church. But you might discuss this with the pastor. You might show him this session so that he can understand the overall vision of having a church that's based on the equipping gifts, where every single person in the church knows their gifts and then is placed in areas where they can use those gifts for the glory of God.
We invite you to participate in the International Bible Teaching and Gospel Sharing Project. Whether these Christian expanded educational opportunities will become available to people around the world depends on all of us. We very much need and appreciate your prayer and financial support. For more information, please visit tvsseminary.com.
We have come to the end of 50 sessions on spiritual gifts. We have looked at spiritual gifts from almost every angle. And I hope that some of what's been shared has been helpful for you. But I'll also tell you that the Bible is inexhaustible. You can't reach the bottom of a topic. And so I would encourage those in the class, those of you who have a passion for people to know their spiritual gifts, to find a place that's the best fit in the church, keep studying about spiritual gifts. Find like-minded people and bounce ideas off of one another so that together iron sharpens iron and the church benefits. And as we close in prayer, my blessing for you is that you will have a fruitful and productive ministry as a pastor or as a member of your church, and that you will serve with your spiritual gift where God has placed you. So let us pray. Father, we are so grateful for the things that you have taught us during the past 50 sessions, for it's really been you who's been the teacher through the Holy Spirit. And I know that there are things that we heard, but they didn't stick in our minds, and there are other things that made a big impact. That too is from the Holy Spirit. So I ask that you will take whatever it is that you intended for each viewer to hear and apply, that you will take it and that you will plant a seed in them that will be watered and harvested in their ministry. We love you, Lord, and we want to serve you, and we praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us.